100% compelling, 0% of the time, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Housebroken Medicare podcast. And now, he had a German girlfriend named Helga the Stompin' Mare. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
You know, Randy, I don't really have anything planned for this particular episode. I don't know if I can do this just by the seat of my pants, but hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Once again, we're podcasting to lazy men and lazy ladies all over America. And these are the people that have to face Medicare, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to do it. So I am here, Douglas B. Jones, as you just heard, to help them in that quest for knowledge and for Medicare nirvana. You just heard our favorite announcer, that would be our only announcer, Drew McMillan, who introduces every episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Drew McMillan is my nephew from Canada. He is the proud father of a yet unknown, unnamed, and yet to be sexed child if you're a farmer or a rancher. And you know what that means, to sex an animal. That means we don't know what it is yet. But anyway, he just moved into a house formerly inhabited by a hoarder. And he sent me pictures of that house recently. And I swear, looks like a really big job. The scary thing is that I just bought an old house for my lovely bride. And I'm guessing that she's going to expect the same kind of physical labor out of me once we take possession of this place. So I'm not sure that I made the right move. I'm hoping it works out all right. Maybe by that time, Drew and his brother Robbie will be finished and they can come down to the States, spend a couple of weeks and do the same thing for me. That's a thought. We'll see if he has we'll see how he likes that idea when I try to broach it to him during the cocktail hour. Anyway, we are here to help you with Medicare information in the most painless way possible. And when I say we, I am including my friend and guru, spiritual guru, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, good afternoon. Now it's good afternoon because it's 12:01 here.
Why don't we let the listener pick what time it is?
Because what time is it?
We can't dictate to them when to listen. Then we'd be a radio show instead of...
You're absolutely correct with that. And I noticed on today's episode notes that you're going to do something that it's going to make me a very happy camper because I'm still fighting the battle out here. I'm still, because of the COVID and being locked down and nobody can see who I am because I have a mask on, and all those kind of things. They aren't getting their fill of mailbag. So I see that you are prepared to do mailbag marathon.
I am prepared to do that. But you know something? If you move to the notes from last episode, how long ago that was, you might say. I have barely a vague memory of recording that episode. You're going to see two items there that I completely forgot to allude to and to allow you to pontificate upon.
Well, yes. I the one thing that I would like to hear about, number one, is at one point in a podcast, I brought up a question, and I don't think we had time to answer it at that point. But the question was, are there U.S. citizens who are not allowed to participate in Medicare?
And I did have an answer for you. I said, not only is there no such thing, but also there are many, many millions of non-U.S. citizens that we gleefully invite to participate in Medicare. That was my answer then. In the middle of the night the other night, I woke up and I said, hey, because I listened to these episodes again to chastise myself for not doing as well as I should. You said the wrong word. What's wrong with you, you idiot? Slap, slap. It's my mother, my sister, my mother, my sister. Anyway, that's from what was that movie all about? It was Jack Nicholson with his nose torn up. He had a big bandage on his nose, and It was all about the L.A. Water Commissioner.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Well, I just wanted to explain my oblique movie reference there so people don't think I'm really losing it. So you guys go look that movie up. Jack Nicholson, probably in the 1980s. Anyway, so I remembered that there is a class of American citizens that is not allowed to participate in Medicare. I wish I had remembered it at the time. This is why I don't take live calls, ladies and gentlemen. You're likely to get really bad information from me unless I can do the research. The class of American citizens not allowed to participate in Medicare is jailbirds. Nobody in prisons is allowed to participate in Medicare because they theoretically have their own medical facilities and their own medical staff. And they really could participate in a medical, supplement is one thing, but a Medicare Advantage plan, because a Medicare Advantage plan has a limited network of doctors and facilities. And if these guys can't just go into a doctor's office or go, you know, to a hospital or something, then they can't participate in that network. So the prison doctors typically are not in a network. We don't ask the prisoners to pay any sort of premium for insurance coverage because they're not going to do it anyway. I mean, how cooperative is an angry lifer, you know, going to be?
Here, let me get my payment oh, my gosh.
Let me write my check. Can you turn around? Let me write on your back. So, frankly, they don't participate in the Medicare system, those that are 65 or older, because it's kind of a thing where the society expects you to participate happily, and they don't do it. So that is one class of citizen that does not participate in Medicare. So
that's it.
Having satisfied that one,
interesting.
Look down the page a little farther. You did leave us with a tempting morsel one time, so I think you should explain that.
When I'm sleepless and can't get to sleep, I do a lot of obscure research and a lot of obscure reading. And one of the things I've been reading about lately is the evidence for or the evidence against a parallel universe. And what I mean by that is that in the universe, there's another universe that's really in parallel to us, and everything that happens in our universe happens opposite there. You may have heard about black matter, you know, those kind of things.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of research being done right now in terms of matter, antimatter, dark matter, dark energy, all that kind of stuff. And I will just leave you with one possibility that really essentially describes it in a nutshell, and that you can think of it in a way that makes sense. Time goes forward. Time always goes forward. Okay. So if the universe was created by the Big Bang and things are marching away from that particular point in time, always forward, then the only way that you could go in the past would be to be able to bend that time. So let's take a sheet of paper. Let's pretend that you've got a sheet of legal pad and you park point zero to point whatever on that legal pad. And that is representative of time going forward. So what would happen if people think you can create wormholes, perhaps, take that paper and move it and bend it around so that it's like this, and then you create a wormhole through one point in time on one layer and another point in time on another layer, could you potentially go back in time in a parallel universe?
I just want to say one thing. You're a scary guy. Who knew all that activity was going on inside your head? And that's why you wear the earphones, I'm guessing, to keep the smoke from billowing out while your brains are working.
Amazing is not the right word. It just absolutely intrigues me.
Here's where I thought you were going to go with that. The universe is expanding after the Big Bang. Everything is moving farther and farther away.
Right.
Everything is also slowing down. Now, we know from Einstein's thoughts and pencil scribblings on cocktail napkins that E equals MC squared. We know that. And, I laughingly say, okay, it's been proven. What that does is it tells us the relative passage of time slows down as you go faster, right?
So,
let's suppose that all the gravity that is pulling against the matter that it's expanding out into the universe, the gravity eventually brings that stuff to a stop. How does that affect time? And it's going to start imploding on itself in a few billion years. How is that going to affect the passage of time? Could the parallel universe be happening as everything is rushing back inward upon itself?
That's one theory, that that our universe has been created by a big bang and then pulled back in like a rubber band time and time and time again to have another big bang.
Could we call that Doug's theory? I mean, am I the first guy to come up with that?
That could be. Let's call that Doug's theory, because okay, it's entirely possible that's exactly what has happened over gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of years. But there's also the idea that things are expanding and the universe is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually there will be not enough gravitational pull between the various entities in the universe to have any effect on one another anymore. And then some people think the universe just goes dark and does no longer exist.
Because eventually, one by one, the stars will burn out.
Yeah.
And there will be no explosion to cause the fission, or is it fusion, required for them to become new stars as part of the newly expanding mass.
Right.
This might have been going on, this expansion contraction might have been going on many, many, many times.
Yes.
Like infinite numbers of times.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into Star Trek territory here. I'm not sure I feel that comfortable.
Next week we're going to talk about the case for dark matter.
That's going to guarantee a real, interested audience. You know, all the Medicare types want to know about dark matter. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, if you join us, you're going to learn all about dark matter and how it relates to Medicare.
That's right. Well, there's matter. You know what matter is.
I know what matter is.
We are matter. Now there's antimatter. We all essentially will accept the fact there's antimatter. But they also say there's dark matter. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. And the case for it is that if you look at the universe, various universes, various galaxies, you know, that we can see, that they are rotating faster than they could possibly rotate if the only thing that's visible, the gravitational pull of the visible parts of that galaxy, if that was it, if that's all there was there, they couldn't rotate that fast without flying apart. So there has to be something else there, dark matter or something, that's creating much more gravity that will allow them to spin that fast.
Uncle Randy, tell me a story. All right, here's what we did. There's a place in Oregon. Actually, it's across the line in Washington State, I think. And our last Corvette trip, old people driving old Corvettes, so our last old Corvette trip. We went and visited this place. I think it's in Oregon, though. And it shoots light from here to New Orleans. Not New Orleans, but someplace in Louisiana. There's a matching facility. And it shoots light and watches the behavior of certain particles. And we walked into the control room of this thing, and I swear to God, I thought I was on the set of the Big Bang Theory. It was all these geeks, all these, basically adolescent geniuses scribbling with pencil paper, slide rules, calculators, and there were millions and millions of computer screens on the ceiling, not the ceiling, but high up on the wall around the perimeter of this room. And all these people, some of them are speaking foreign languages, and some of them were obviously from other parts of the earth. And they were all working in there like crazy. And of course, we come barging in, hey, what's going on in here? Looks like fun. And they'd look up, go, oh, God, you poor morons, if you only knew. You know, the world's going to implode in 10 billion years. You know, aren't you worried about that? So,
well, it was kind of fun. Yeah. Exactly. The other thing that really is kind of bizarre to think about, and this is a known fact, is that eventually our sun, you know, stars go through various phases.
Oh, I thought you meant your son, and I was going to say your son-in-law, you mean? Or
No. The sun as in the star.
Okay.
The stars. Yeah, they all go through various stages. and eventually the sun will eat up all its fuel and go through various stages and turn into
a. If that happens, just shoot me, because frankly, I don't want to live in a world without sunlight.
Well, this will be billions of years from now, but it'll eat up all its energy and will turn into a red dwarf. And that red dwarf, if you want to really freak yourself out, go onto YouTube and look at the pictures of simulated pictures of what the red dwarf sun will look like in relationship to the Earth. It literally, it's a like a huge red ball that looks like you could reach out and touch it. Now, if it was that big and that close, we'd all be toasted. But on the other hand, eventually the red dwarf sun will take over the Earth and everything will be gone. But that's billions of years away, or perhaps 2022. I don't know.
Well, you know, you're not the only one that has weird thoughts. I remember when I was a kid watching an episode of The Twilight Zone. And during this episode of The Twilight Zone, I think it was a man and his wife or his girlfriend or something. One of them was sick. I'm going to say the girl was sick, and the guy was bringing her hot soup and everything, and they were freezing to death. And it was just incredible. I may have this completely backwards, but most of the episode, you know that the Earth is about to die because the sun is burning out and there's no heat coming from the sun, and they know it's going to get worse. So they're just waiting to die a miserable death in this freezing cold that the Earth has become. And then somehow, cleverly, they came to reality, which is they weren't freezing to death. They were burning to death because the Earth was falling out of its orbit into the sun. But all in the same half-hour episode of The Twilight Zone, they took you from saying, wow, you know, they're going to freeze to death, and I hope it's not painful for them, and then realizing, no, they're going to actually burn to death.
All like, in one half-hour.
Hot skillet.
All in one half-hour.
My headphone cord was, I had a short in my connection.
Well, I need to make one correction.
I hope you didn't say anything really pithy. Now you're doing it again. You're talking and I'm not hearing you.
I need to make one correction. The sun is not going to turn into a red dwarf. It's going to turn into a red giant.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I called it a red dwarf and that's not the case. It's going to be a red giant.
We probably ought to get our Medicare information out of the way before that happens, huh?
Well, yeah, it's several billions of years, but I think it's a good thing to start out and get that Medicare information out, because you never know when it's going to happen.
I don't know how many a billion is, but if it's happening soon, I want to make sure that I don't leave any of my mailbag items unattended to. So let us talk about one from a Ms. Miller. And, oh boy, this kind of starts in the middle of our conversation. All I'm doing is answering. Let's see. I believe what she asked me is stated so succinctly, it's amazing to me now. This was several months ago, so I didn't remember it. But I got a message from a woman, and the message is, I have been disabled for 8 years. There has to be something that occurred before that, but I don't know what it is. My response to that was, what I had drummed into me in Medicare school is that you must have been receiving SSDI, which is Social Security Disability Income, for 2 years, unless your disability resulted from a couple of specific diseases like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. If this applies to you, the 2 years rule, then you should find an agent who will help you get Plan F as you originally intended. Now you have reached the extent of my ability to help you, and I wish you the best of luck. Yeah, I must have had some additional correspondence from her where she told me more of her story. But the whole thing is, when people are younger than age 65, they cannot have Medicare to pay their medical bills unless they're disabled. And for most disabilities, they have to qualify for Social Security Disability Income for a maximum of 2 years. And if they're registered for that, at the end of that 2 years, they'll start receiving Social Security checks, Social Security Disability Income. They will also automatically get signed up for Medicare. Now, if they have a certain few causes of disability, like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, or I can't remember, there's another one too, they don't have to wait the 2 years. They'll qualify immediately. I've got a red microphone with a line through it. Oh, I know what that is. Never mind. So the whole point of my conversation with that nice lady was that she was wondering if she could get Plan F, and I basically, I think, had to tell her, no, you've got to be on that Social Security disability income for 2 years before you're allowed to get a Medicare supplement. And then, so I can't help you because you must wait. She was younger than 65. So moving on to the next correspondent. This was just the next day. This person said, hi, I'm an insurance agent who left California for Nevada 4 years ago, and I've been focusing on Medicare since Obama promised to destroy health insurance and in turn access to health care. Like you, I sell almost nothing but supplements unless forced to by a lower income prospect. My plan of choice is N, and despite running the numbers versus high deductible Plan F, is what my wife and I both have for about $110 a month. In the 2 years since I've been on, period. Okay. Educate, I would be, boy, you know, he must have been drinking what I like to drink, because educate, I would have hit the out-of-pocket for HDF with relatively minor issues. But unlike most commission-driven agents, I also quote HDF and finding more and more people opting for this choice. All right, now we're back to reality. He's saying the high deductible Medicare supplement plans are making sense to more and more people. Then in a different paragraph, he goes, what I have found is so many, myself included, use emotions rather than financial logic when buying supplements. Before Obamacare, I sold almost nothing other than HSA-compatible plans, as they made the most financial sense. So why is it harder to sell HDF to the same people? An HSA-compatible plan, ladies and gentlemen, is one that has a very, very high deductible, so that when you have a pile of cash, you have the choice. If you have medical expenses, you can use some of your pile of cash. But you don't resort to that high deductible insurance plan until your pile of cash is gone. That's an HSA, or a health savings account. And you can roll that cash over to the following year or the year after that. If you never have any need to see doctors or go to the hospital or anything like that, then at the end of a few years, you wind up with a fairly healthy pile of cash. Your HSA is an inexpensive health insurance plan with a very high deductible that kicks in if you have unusually large medical expenses in a given year. So he's saying, since high deductible Plan F and high deductible Plan G have such small deductibles by comparison to an HSA plan, why are they so difficult to help people understand the benefits? Question mark. And you know, you must think I'm a philosopher. I don't have all the answers here, buddy, but it's nice to talk to somebody who understands the problem. Oh, Randy, I'm calling.
I have the answer.
Please.
I have the answer.
Help us.
It's the name.
Oh yeah, you're
right. The name.
And so what did we decide to do? We decided to change the name.
We are changing the name officially today. We thought about it last week, but it's official today. From here forward, Doug is going to refer to these as the high value plan.
Because that's totally accurate. High deductible is a misnomer because there is no front end deductible. So high value is what it is from now on. So his last line is, I do want to congratulate you on a terrific little book. That's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, soon to be replaced by Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021, if I can ever get my poop together to start writing it. He says, we are on the same page and so glad to see there is another ethical and honest agent helping seniors. Here's to much success. And then he gave his name. And then he says at the bottom, there's another little note, word spelling courtesy of my iPhone. So he's blaming his iPhone for that blurb in the middle where I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. So I said, hey, thank you very much for writing. While reading your email, my fingers were poised over the keyboard and twitching, waiting for your question about my thought process and how I came to promote the plans that I do. Turns out that question never came, but your thought process is every bit as cogent as mine. You just landed in a slightly different place, Plan N, than I did. You notice I rarely ever talk about Plan N. It's just a little more complicated than Plan G or HDG, high value G, or Plan F or high value Plan F. Plan N is a little more complex, but it certainly has its place in the pantheon of Medicare supplement plans. But I digress. Let's go back to the letter. So he says, I said to him, the one question you did ask is almost rhetorical. Why does high deductible or high value Medicare supplement plan require more explanation and persuasion? I believe that a large part of the problem is that unfortunate name, high deductible. Good luck with your efforts, and whoever has the opportunity to drive a stake through the heart of Obamacare should call the other to share their enjoyment, meaning either him or me. If I can drive a stake through Obamacare first, he should call me to congratulate me. Anyway, God knows the congressional Republicans haven't managed to do it. Thanks again for writing, and listen to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast if you are so inclined. So it was a nice little exchange between this gentleman in Nevada and me, but in spite of the fact that we're separated by so many miles, we are exactly on the same page that with Randy, and the high deductible or high value plans are the ones that we're only going to be promoting to our adoring public. I don't know how adoring.
With somebody giving those names to those plans like high deductible F, high deductible G, they might as well have said, you're an idiot Plan F, you're an idiot Plan G. That's the impact it has on people's mind.
It does. You're going to hate this Plan F. You're going to hate having this Plan G.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is describe them accurately in very few syllables. High value is an ideal way to do it. You get a lot of value for the very few dollars that you spend.
That's
when
right.
you have
That's
one
right.
of these high deductible plans. So if people are going to go do their own research, they're not going to see the terms high value. So I'm going to wind up kind of double clutching and saying both names together more often than I want to, because I like that high value concept. So then I get another message here from a guy named Nathan. And he says, hello, Doug. Let's turn California green on your map. Well, it is green now. I could pay for and work leads in California. I have sold MedSup for 20 years now, tons of contracts. I won't let you down. Warm regards. And at this time, Randy and I were still kind of scratching our heads going, how do we construct our widget? How do we make our business to sell or to help people buy Medicare supplements pay off with less human labor and more automated process? So basically what I said, thanks for writing. Actually, the only thing delaying greenness in California has been finding the right company to offer to clients there. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that problem has been solved. I've got a terrific company to do business in California with, very, very aggressive, high value plan premiums. Very aggressive. So if you're in California and you're interested in knowing what it might cost you to get a Medicare supplement plan, including the high value plans, then by all means, send me a message to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Anyway, to finish this up, the problem is close to being solved, so I hope to conclude a deal and turn it green before too long. So I totally ignored the fact that he said he wanted to come work for us. And I don't know, I hope he's doing something worthwhile, because it's not helping us at all. Yeah. How much time do we have, Randy?
We are out. But
okay, because I was going to say I could do this all day long, but I was having too much fun.
Given the fact that we talked a little bit about parallel universes, do you have one more mailbagger and then we could close it off for the day?
Absolutely. Let me get this one right here. This one is from a gentleman in Missouri, which is where the Cape Girardeau Surgical Center is no longer part of the Anthem network. Too bad, you Medicare Advantage dopes. Okay, here's the message. When do you think the state of Missouri will go green on your website so that I can purchase a Medicare supplement plan through your website? This breaks my heart. How many opportunities did we have to help people while Randy and I were trying to perfect our process? How many did we have to turn away? And it's a tough thing to have to live with. Another question, he said, I am leaning towards getting a Plan G high deductible, or as we call it, high value policy. It seems to make the most sense for me. The question is, can I switch to regular Plan G if I realize the high deductible plan isn't a good fit? Well, the answer used to be no, but then we discovered this company that I use in California and many, many other places. In most places, they have really, really good rates. And at the two-year period, they do allow you to automatically pick any of the company's other plans if you think that the high value or the high deductible plan has not served you well. My bet is that you will never want to make that switch because you love the low premium of the high value or high deductible plans. But my answer, my official answer to this gentleman is, first of all, high deductible Plan G is an excellent choice, but normally would not be changeable without proof of continued good health. I have formed a relationship with a highly rated insurance company that will allow anyone to make that change on the second policy anniversary without answering health questions. Missouri is in the process of heading toward green as we speak. However, because the process moves at a snail's pace, I will be happy to walk through the application process with you using old school methodology. To that end, I've attached a quick questionnaire that will help me understand your circumstances and complete most of your paperwork for you. If you would fill it out and return it to me, I would be pleased to act as your agent for as long as you need my services. Thank you very much for writing. Well, of course, I never heard from this gentleman again, so I don't know if he stepped off a curb and got run over by a bus or lost interest in getting Medicare or supplement, but he was like one of the first guys that I said, hey, wait a minute, what are we letting people that need help go away for when we should be able to help them ourselves? So I think he might have been the first one that we actually tried to salvage, and he was probably so shocked that I answered in the affirmative that he said, oh, no, this can't be real. But
this guy's got it. He can't be real. No. Doug Jones is not real. It's just a figment of someone's imagination.
Doug Jones would not answer in the affirmative like this guy just did. He must be an imposter. Okay.
This is the man, ladies and gentlemen, that on Christmas morning when he was 7 years old, got up and got his little insurance guy briefcase and suit.
Randy is endlessly fascinated with my wardrobe and my accessories, my briefcase, my insurance applications.
He had a little pad of insurance applications, and you know the other people. You know, he had a Roy Rogers outfit, but his insurance guy outfit was his favorite.
Well, I got to tell you, it's paid off handsomely. It got my ass kicked a lot, but it also.
This guy. I'm telling you, this guy is absolutely the straight scoop. Won't ever lead you wrong. But we need to tell some people thank you.
Who are those people that we would tell thank you?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again so much for joining us on our podcast with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and author of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any form you could possibly imagine, it's available. And I'm going to turn it over to Doug for one little wrap.
I feel like a member of the royal family. Every time Randy closes out an episode, another accolade is added. You know, I'm prince of this and earl of that and soon to be, duke of whatchamacallit. And frankly, I just don't deserve all those accolades. I will say that Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer. It's too bad that he has never cried. And
oh, I love it.
They can't all be winners, folks. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We want you to go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com if you prefer and get the copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. Now, the new one's coming out. The 2021 version is coming out, but not before I actually sit down with a pencil and start writing. So you've got some time because it's going to take a while to get that other one done. And then I've had to turn it over to Randy and say, okay, can you turn this into a book? Well, I'll see what I can do, Doug. So in any event, go and buy the book on Amazon.com. You can get Kindle. You can get the audio or Audible version, or you can get the paperback. And if you want me to autograph something, get the paperback because, frankly, when I have to write on a Kindle screen, it just wrecks it. So if you like this podcast, you might do a little review. You might do a review of the book if you're so inclined. That's always very helpful. And what else? Oh, our website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. It's like a playground of Medicare flora and fauna. You can spend weeks there.
We've actually got a calculator on there. Now, I'm being a little facetious, but there's a calculator on there that says for every dollar spent on a Medicare disadvantage plan, how many dollars do you get back? And it comes back and tells you how many dollars you would get back. So if you spend nothing, you get nothing. It was an easy calculator to
write. It just sits there staring at you all day. It's like two eyes on a cartoon character.
That's
two
right.
Two big zeros. You That's spent right. this, and you got this.
And it also leads you to say, you know, do you really want lunch with Joe Namath or not? You know, and most people say, nah, I'll pass.
How about a bus ride in an ex-prison bus? I'm going to go to my doctor. Come on along with me.
Come on. Joe's taking us. Joe's driving.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. It's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the next get-together that we'll have very soon, I hope.
All righty. Well, everybody have a good day, and we'll see you next time.